Okay, from the pictures, you can see that we've been really busy. These guys have been having a great time through the winter and the fall. And we actually hosted a show here through, you saw the logo Fusion. That's a once a month time when we get together with several youth groups from the area. There's some other local churches that we get together on a Friday night, and they all come together and they worship, and we have guest speakers and things like that. And we were fortunate enough to have B-Shock here, and I just have to say that it was really fun. And Pastor Buddy said the next day that his windows were shaking. We were rocking the house so loud. They had Holy Rollers Car Club that was here out in the front, and so that booming was, yeah, it was vibrating everything. So it was a lot of fun, though. The kids had a blast. We also went to Rock the Universe with Universal Studios. That's where we found those nuns, which was really cool. The kids, they thought that was awesome that they had to take pictures, and they were having a good time too. And then we had, just recently, we went to Winter Jam, and that's the pictures. They had a great time at Winter Jam. We drove to Tampa, and the picture where you saw Mickey in the, you know, where above everybody, that's how we knew where our group was the whole time. So praise the Lord for Mickey. At first I was a little stressed. I was like, oh, we're going to lose somebody, but no, they all just stayed around Mickey, and we were good. So yeah, we had a really good time. And then of course we have our Wednesday night, lessons that we have and time that we get together and we worship and have a really good time. And these kids are becoming such good friends. And it's so awesome that they can have each other. And when they come together and they get so close and they're like a family, and then they go out into their schools and they can stand up for what they believe in. They can stand by their values and the things that they're learning and the things of God, and they have each other to lean on and to support and do the work of God. And so Wednesday nights we've been learning foundations of our faith, which has been really good. We've been getting real in depth with things like obeying God's word and repentance and learning what our spiritual gifts are and giving. And the next series that we're going to start, this Wednesday is our last one in Foundations, and it's going to be on discipleship and evangelism. And I just ask that you guys be in prayer for these kids, because that's going to lead them right into the next thing and being a disciple of Christ, imitating who he is, so that when people see us, they see him. And we're going to be focusing on characters, character building, character traits of our Lord, and how we can model that. Sean's going to start us out with that with a lesson on self-control. And then we're going to focus real closely on the spiritual side of it with the Galatians 5:22 and Philippians 4:8, where it says, whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, whatever is trustworthy, think on these things. And then in Galatians, where the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, self-control, and all of those many more. But that's what we're going to be focusing on for the next 12 weeks. So as a church, I just ask you to pray for the kids, that God is ministering to their hearts during the week when we don't have them, and in their families and in their situations and things that they can make a difference in their schools. And speaking of school, I wanted to take a minute to introduce you to some of our kids, that this is an exciting year for them because they are seniors, and they're the class of 2012. So if they would come up right now, I have Benjamin. Yeah. And we have Jessica Gordon. We have Victoria. Where's she at? Yay, and Daniel. Come on up, Daniel. So we're going to start with Ben, and they're just going to tell you, like, who their parents are, where they're graduating from, if they have any plans, and that kind of thing after they graduate.
You should go over the list of what I'm supposed to say again. Who am I? Well, my name is Benjamin, and I think you said something about my parents. My mom's Faith Knowles, and my dad's, you know, Ben Knowles, named after him. So, yeah. Anyways, I'm graduating from Umatilla High School this year, and yeah, old U Tiggity, and I'm planning on going to Stetson this year. So, yeah, should be nice. Go to Stetson, do whatever. And anyways, like, who God has been to me lately in my life, just recently, is, he's been my father to me. Like, he's just taken me by my hand in these last few months, especially entering my senior year. And I've had a lot of questions. God, what am I supposed to do with my life? Who am I supposed to be? Where am I going? And he's just been like, you know, follow me, just guiding me and showing me. I've been like, God, be the lamp under my feet. And he's been delivering to me so much, just all this love and all this guidance. And I just, I'm overwhelmed sometimes. And just, it brings me to my knees, you know. Anyways.
Okay, and this is Jess Gordon. Yeah, you want to? You know her well enough.
I do know her. All right. So, yeah, I do this a lot. Like, I'll introduce people, especially at youth. We do this like Benjamin's best thing that's ever happened to you ever, ever, ever this week, ever. So, anyways, this is Jessica Gordon. She's a good friend of mine. She's graduating from Utah High School. Her parents are Kara Gordon and Brett Gordon. Yeah, you probably know them. They're cool people. Anyways, so yeah, Jess has plans of going to Flagler as soon as she graduates. Yeah, she's just like, as soon as I graduate, my roots are up, I'm gone. She just wants to scat. But anyways, yeah. What were the other questions? Yeah, you know, if I'm nailing anything wrong, just call me out. Be like, what? Oh, okay. You want the mic?
Sure. What was the last question?
Oh, yeah, because I don't know who God is to you.
Okay, God to me is just someone I can go to when I don't know what to do or where to go, and he just is there when I don't know what I'm doing. So I think I said that. Anyway, he just is someone who can show me where to go and lead me down the path that I'm supposed to follow. And yeah, so I think it's Daniel's turn.
All right, it's my turn. Woo! Well, my name's Daniel Fuentes. My parents are not here because they're pastors in another church, but my dad's Luis Fuentes and my mom's Myra. Yeah. Well, I'm really excited to graduate this year. I'm homeschooled. Been homeschooled for like 7 years. I still don't know to which college I'm going to yet. I'm praying about it and just asking God to lead me. And yeah, I mean, God is just awesome. He's been working through me for the past 4 years. And like when I joined this youth group, it was awesome. I helped with the music and been in it and worked with it. It's been fun. It's been fun to be at Salt Youth, and it's exciting. I mean, God is awesome, and He's great, and all I can say is just praise the Lord.
I'm nervous. Hi. Okay, I'm Vicky, or Victoria, if you want to call me that, but I like Vicky. Yeah, so I'm graduating. That's obvious, because, yeah. Anyway, what I plan to do after high school is work at Disney, and I want to be a Disney princess, because I think it would be fun. You know, little kids, they're so cute. Anyway, and then Disney has a good college program, so once I get into that, I hopefully can go to Southeastern University and study music and ministry. And this past year has been really amazing. I didn't know before God brought me here that my life could be so consumed by God. And it's just really been a blessing being here and being a part of the youth and just going all these different places and just being able to serve God with my life. And yeah, that's been really awesome. And getting to know all these people that I love and that God wants us to be in a place with people that we love. And to me, God is everything. And yeah, I'm actually speaking next, so y'all can leave now.
Praise the Lord.
Real quick. Yeah, Victoria, she has a gift, lots of gifts, because one of her primary spiritual gifts is missionary work. So she has a lot of stuff that she's really good at and that God has blessed her with, and teaching is one of them. And just real quick, I wanted to let you guys know, starting in February, our Friday night Bible studies are now, we're splitting the genders. Michelle, you met Michelle earlier. Can you stand up, Michelle? Where are you at? There she is. Michelle Johnson.
Yeah.
We'll be mentoring and discipling Victoria in that teaching gift, and the two of them are going to be teaching the girls on Friday night in a small life group. And then Steve and Jordan, and where's Jordan? Where'd you stand up, Jordan? Jordan, right in the front. We'll be teaching the boys. So that's going to happen at Kim and Bobby Lynn's house. They've opened their home up to them to do their study there. The girls will be meeting here. And then we do prayer and worship on Friday nights as well. After our study, our Bible studies are really intensive, and they go for a while. I mean, it's from like 7 to 10. So from 7 to 8:30, we have the study. And from 8:30 to 10, it's prayer and worship. And where we pray for our church, we pray for you guys, we pray for our community and our schools and ourselves and each other. We lift each other up in prayer. And so they will come together on Friday nights at 8:30, weather permitting, at Bobby and Kim's house. They offered their great front porch that they have, some of you have been there before, or their dock out on the lake to do worship. And if the weather is bad, we'll come back here and do it here. So Victoria, like she said, has a word for you, so I'll just hand the mic to her.
Just looks less awkward in the middle. I kind of only have like certain amount of time, so I'm going to try to hurry, but I have a lot of stuff. It's in Matthew chapter 4 through 7. So it's kind of like a mini Sermon on the Mount, I guess. So I'm just going to read it because I have it all written down. In Matthew 4, it's basically where Jesus starts off his ministry. So Jesus started healing people almost immediately after the arrest of John the Baptist and after being baptized and tempted. And he spoke God's words of wisdom to them. Jesus just starts teaching and healing people. People see all these things. He's going to the public places, and great multitudes of people are following him around. He goes making disciples and starts doing miracles. His disciples eventually performed miraculous healings and signs as well. So if this is supposed to be our example, then we're supposed to radically love people, go heal them and speak words of wisdom and love to them with the gifts he's given us, in the ways he calls us. It's pretty awesome. Jesus speaks with confidence, words straight from God. He wasn't insecure or uncomfortable. He's Jesus. We shouldn't be prideful. We're not Jesus. But God's Spirit lives in us. And if we look at what we say and it aligns with God's word and it is from the Holy Spirit, we should speak with confidence. We are speaking with God's words. And we are now his because of Jesus. There are times to be, the next part is talking about just being an example of Jesus. There are times to be secretive, but those are times when we're giving and not asking for anything in return. There are also times to glorify God with our lives. Yes, you can glorify God in small ways, but does he call us to be quiet, or does he tell us to perform miraculous signs and make disciples of all nations and share the gospel to every creature? Does he tell us to be comfortable, or does he say to take up our cross and follow him? His Holy Spirit guides us in what he wants us to do. Maybe you're just going to give in secret. Maybe you're going to love one person at a time. But whatever you do, work at it with all you got, with the knowledge that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, knowing God is the strength in your weakness, and he works through you and does it all. Bam, make a difference. So next he starts telling them the Beatitudes, saying everything wrong in the world will be made right. Every righteous longing will be filled, and it is a blessing. Also, something that is my favorite about this is the verses 5, 6, 10, and 11 through 12. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness is 6. And then 10 is, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So those things deal with something that's prevalent in today's society. It is increasingly relevant today that the law, the true law created by God, is being compromised. There are those who are angry and long to see righteousness and don't get to. Things that are unjust, unrighteous, and unholy are being considered acceptable because people are prideful and believe they can't help themselves and would rather choose sin than God. It's true we should be merciful, but if mercy were against righteousness, it wouldn't work out. Instead, mercy is a form of righteousness because it is holy and from God. I believe you can love someone and be merciful to them, even if you are standing for righteousness and they stand against it. Because we know we make the same mistakes they do. We are not judging them. We are just standing against what we know is wrong. Some people will say it's wrong to think you're right and you know better than them. But if you are standing on God's word, it is not you who's right, it's God who is right. So people will hate us, persecute us, mock us, and do whatever. But there is one God, and what he says is the truth. If right and wrong was relative to each person, as claimed in society, then serial killing would be classified as right because the murderer believed it was right at the time for him. So no, morals are not relative. The truth is not relative. There is one God, and he will bless those who stand up for his word. You inherit the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says that if we are ashamed of him before men, he will be ashamed of us before the Father. If we don't stand up for what God's word says, if we aren't living for Jesus and representing ourselves as his followers, then what are we? Ashamed, silenced, quiet, lukewarm, double-minded? From that time, he began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In chapter 5, we are the salt of the earth. Salt. We give it flavor and preserve it, bring out the best in it. But if we aren't doing any of that, what good are we? We are the light of the world. You can't hide that. That's what it is. You don't hide a light. You put it on a lampstand to shine all over the place. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus came to fulfill the law, not to destroy it. So in that part, he is addressing the Pharisees. The law must be fulfilled. Jesus must achieve the purpose of the law. He accomplished the law. You can't ignore... hold on. You can't ignore God's law. You have to abide by them. Then in verse 20, Jesus talks about the Pharisees and the scribes and how you must be more righteous than them. At first, this is hard to understand because Jesus also talks about him being the way to be saved. But then Jesus pulls out, but you got to be super righteous or else. But thinking about this, scribes and Pharisees tended to compromise the law, or at least the purpose of the law, which was to keep them from sin. They wrote a lot of rules and regulations that they thought made them righteous. But the next three things he mentions hate adultery and divorce and oaths. Oh, four things. Were all things that they did. So Jesus is explaining that he is there to fulfill the purpose of the law. And the law should not be ignored, but rather it should be an even larger part of our lives. And we know that the blood of Jesus and his Holy Spirit makes us right with him and guides us in his will. And Holy Spirit gives us the power to live right lives in agreement with God's laws. Wow, this is really long. Sorry. Okay. So this stuff was absurd to the people. This is the part where it talks about turning the other cheek. And if you ask most people today, it's still probably absurd to them. It's saying to radically love people, to let them harm you and take from you, and willingly give them what they ask. To give without limits, to give extra, to go the extra mile, to be good to people. Jesus further extends the law to love others as you do yourself. Love your enemies, loving atheists, Catholics, and Baptists, and people who hate you. No offense, I love you. Okay, and people who hate you and call you ugly or worthless. Jesus says to love them. Don't forget about what I said before about going the extra mile. That's part of loving them. Pray for them and bless them. My favorite thing here in verse 45, God is fair to everybody. Hold on. I want to look that up. Hold on a second. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's right there. Oh, hey, thanks. Thank you. Okay. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes the sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends the rain on the just and the unjust. Thank you. Okay, so God is good to everybody. Good times and bad times come to everybody. God loves everybody, and he gives everyone a fair chance at life. And the things in life that are wrong, like I may have mentioned before, he's going to take care of that at the end of everything. Everything will be paid for and made right. There's nothing God can't do. Therefore, you shall be perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. Okay. We know we can't exactly be perfect in this life because we can't be separated from our flesh, but our sinful nature does die when we give ourselves over to God. His Holy Spirit shows us the things we need to change and helps us change. We don't have to sin. The blood of Jesus is what gives us the power to go the extra mile. By the blood of Jesus covering our sin, we are perfect in God's eyes. Perhaps we could reach perfection. I don't even know. But I do know that something Jesus wants us to strive for. To be completely pleasing to God and to love him perfectly by loving others and not allowing sin. Now, God doesn't want us to hide our salt and light. But we are setting an example. There are certain things we shouldn't do in public with an attitude of, oh, look, I'm so good. You can't be like, oh, look, I'm donating all this money to charity. Oh, look, I'm helping this friend in need. No, those things, you keep quiet. God, who sees what you do in secret, rewards you much better than the admiration of those around you. There's a lot of times where I get confused and I'm like, God, is this a time to be a lamp or is this a time to be in secret? And God lets me know. Also, prayer. You have to have a good attitude about it. You don't go get up in front of everybody and start going through a list of people you pray for every day or go pray for personal problems so that people will compliment you or think you're good at praying. I believe that it is appropriate to pray over worship or the church service and for God's blessing on the church. You can let the pastor do it. You can pray for that alone, before or after, or with a group of people in agreement with you. But what God really wants is for you to get alone with him and pray in secret and spend time with him. Not so that others will see you and give you a pat on the back. But if you really believe in God, you know he's going to be the one answering your prayers anyway. And you don't have to repeat yourself. Keep in mind that this is God who sees everything. He has forever in his hands. I'm sure he's got time to watch the ants he created, to know every tree he gave life to, where every leaf is going to fall. He just knows he's always there. So yeah, he's going to hear you the first time. There's a verse where Jesus talks about praying for something persistently. And he says, this guy that knocks on his friend's door until he has to open it. Where we should be close to God as a friend and persist in our prayers day after day. Next is the Lord's Prayer, which people use as a guideline to pray, to establish authority, to praise his presence and his will, provision, forgiveness, protection, deliverance, and everything is his. But I think we should note the simplicity of the prayer. It sounds really fancy in New King James Version, but if you read it in the Message version, it just makes it seem so simple and personal. The best prayer advice I ever got from someone reading this is, these are all good things to mention and to keep them in mind, but when you get alone with God, just open up to him. Just talk to him and expect him to show you something back. Use these guidelines if you don't know what to ask or say or whatever, but the best advice I ever took was to just talk to God and as simply and honestly as possible. And then this is, I don't even know what chapter this is. That's bad. Okay. So verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. If you never noticed that, that's a really big deal. Okay, this is the last part. So, this is in chapter 7, and it is about the house on the rock. So, you've heard about the house on the rock. If you haven't, read Matthew chapter 7, because I don't have that much time. Whoever has Jesus has something to hold on to, while the people who don't have Jesus, they have no hope when troubles come. You've also heard to pay attention to the fact that troubles come to both houses. But paying attention to simple words here, whoever hears what I say and listens to me, is like building their house on the rock. In the New King James Version, it says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. So the main difference there is that if you are hearing the word of God and you believe it and you do it and you obey God, you are going to have a life centered on God. Your life won't fall apart because you are where God wants you to be. Basically, he is building your life for you. If you hear God's word and you listen to it, but you do what you want instead of what God wants, you rebel against God, and your life is falling apart because this is the life you made yourself, which can't compare to the life God makes for you. I'm done, and I think my bro Jake is next. No? Yeah, Jake is next, and he's awesome. Like, we were on the PSJ, and I was like, dang, man, that kid is awesome. And I'm sorry, I just want to introduce him because he's awesome.
He's awesome.
And he's so funny. And I was just like, Jake, are you saved? Is he saved? And they're just like, I don't know. I don't think he's saved. And I was like, he has to be saved. He's so awesome and funny. And then he got saved. I'm like, oh, my gosh, Jake is so awesome. And now he's going to speak. Oh, my gosh, it was so cool.
Awesome. It's pretty easy to hang out at this youth group. The Lord's really sharing on fire. Thank you, Pastor Vicky, for the message. That was awesome. Let's give her a hand. There's nothing more beautiful when God is pouring into our lives and giving us the Spirit and changing us and renewing us and revitalizing us. And that's the way to live. And what she's talking about is exactly where we want to be. And there's no point in living. God, I asked God months ago, I said, God, you know, what do you want me to do here with our youth? And he told me, he said, sorry. Thank you. Share the Holy Spirit with them and make sure they get the Holy Spirit, because without the Holy Spirit, they won't be able to get through life victoriously. And we try so hard to live our Christian life, and we fight with the devil, and it's a spiritual battle. It's about us giving up and letting God take control, about us releasing ourselves to him and letting him do the work, about us being able to live with the fruits of the Spirit. I had a big old slide thing. I'm not going to show it because we've gone through time, but it's about us just releasing to God and letting the Holy Spirit be our infilling, and the Holy Spirit to show us and guide us through these things and giving us the strength to do that and pouring into our lives and changing who we are to do what he wants. Many, many times, many years of my life, I tried to do what God wanted my way. I did a lot of good things. I was a youth pastor for a lot of years, did a lot of good things, but I was doing it my way. And on the earth, everyone on the world, you know, around was saying, wow, that's a great job, Steve, great job. But in my heart, I knew I was struggling with a battle. And so when I finally gave up, I said, God, you just take over because I'm done struggling. He just started directing and showing me everything. And I just keep bringing everything to him. No worries. Quit worrying about the situation. Not that I work any less or I don't work as hard. I work harder than I did then, but with the power of God directing me and his comfort, his strength, and his joy giving me the ability to keep moving forward. And that's the way I want to live. And that's what we want to encourage you to live. And that's what we encourage the teens and to get the Holy Spirit to lead them and guide them. That's the most important thing that we can get from this. And God's going to do his work. He wants to. He wants us to focus and look at him and just press into him. And another word I just wanted to share was that us as parents, if we're a parent, we need to, I'm preaching to you, Kev. I'm just kidding. I love you, Kev. I told him I was going to preach to him on that one, but no. Us as parents, we need to make our house a place where God is the God of our home, a place where the Holy Spirit is reigning and ruling. It's awesome to come to church and hear the teens on fire and to have a great time in the Lord and feel his presence and be renewed and refreshed. But we should have that in our homes. We as parents should be back at our homes bringing out the word, making times of devotion, times of altar at our house, so that our family, our spouse, our husband, wife, or whatever it is, or our children will know where we stand, that God's power is flowing out of us, and that my Christianity isn't just a Sunday morning Christianity. My Christianity is a house that is serving God, a house that's on fire for God. That people going in and out of your house will say, man, those people are different. They have a love for God, and they have the Holy Spirit's there. Something's there that is different, and I want a part of it. Because the Lord showed me a long time ago that the world is out, that people's hearts are hurting. That's the truth. They have all kinds of lies, and they have all kinds of setups and drugs, alcohol, and all these kind of things. And they say, hey, man, I'm free. I'm having a good time. But they're not. They're really hurting inside. And for us to be a home, have a home that has the truth in it, that the truth is proclaimed around maybe a coffee table, and the Bibles are opened, And you can't, maybe you can't have devotions every morning or every day, which would be awesome, but maybe every night, and every once a week or something like that. Just a time that everyone knows that, hey, this is a time of week we're going to all sit down and just share God in our lives. So I wanted to challenge adults and parents to do that. And if you don't, you don't have anybody in your life, the place to be is to get that relationship where God is the center of it. You're a one bedroom single bachelor pad or whatever it is, where God is the center of it. So that as you bring and build a family, and this is to you guys, as you bring a family into your together and start building families, that'll be based on God, and that your relationship will be transparent to your partner, to your husband and wife to be, that they'll know that God is the center of your life, and that you'll see that in their life as well. And when you build a foundation like that, then your life will be what God wants to be. Then you can share and do what God wants you to do. And I praise the Lord. And I want to ask Sarah. Is Sarah still there? Yeah, come on up, Sarah. She has a testimony.
She wants to share a testimony with us. She's going to start with, well.
So I asked him, how would I start the testimony? And he said, just start it with, well. So I'm going to start it with, well. So, well, I'm going to do basically.
Any way you want.
Okay. So basically, my sister, this is more of a family testimony. Right before Christmas, my sister, she was having problems with kidney stones. And she's 20 years old, so usually that's not usually a problem for 20-year-olds. And so she was passing kidney stones one after another, one after another, one after another. So we went to the doctor, and they said she was going to have surgery. So our family was a little shooken up because it was right before Christmas, and it's just a house full of girls. So we were all like, oh, my sister, my sister, my sister. My mom was freaking out because it was right before Christmas. So we got in contact with Miss Hetty, and Miss Hetty kind of figured out what was going on.
Raise your hand, Miss Hetty.
Miss Hetty, yes. So my mom and my sister, they went over to Miss Hetty's house, and Miss Hetty prayed over her and said that when they went to the hospital, everything would be gone, and there would not be any problems with kidney stones, and they wouldn't have to do surgery. So they prayed over her, and the next day they went to Tampa, and they went to do the exploratory before they did the surgery to kind of see what was going on in there so they knew what they would have to do. And originally they said that they were going to have to clean out all the kidney stones and put a splint in. So my sister was freaking out because she's never been put to sleep before, so she was really nervous, and she was having all the stuff that goes through your mind when you're put to sleep. People are afraid that they're not going to wake up or whatnot. So they did the exploratory, and the doctor was amazed because nothing was in there. There was no kidney stones, nothing. So the doctor really didn't know. They were like, well, there's no way that these kidney stones could have just disappeared, so it's just a miracle. So that was our Christmas miracle for our family, because we've never had something like that amazing, touch our family. So I like to thank Miss Hetty because she prayed over my sister and helped my sister out with that, because we really didn't want her to have surgery. And now she's better than ever. She's not having any more problems with kidney stones since that doctor's trip. And she had been struggling with them since she was 16. So it was a really long time. And they were pretty much saying that she was going to end up having kidney failure or whatnot. But now that they went to that hospital trip and the exploratory, she's been amazing.
Amen.
So that's my family testimony. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Everybody needs to yell, praise the Lord. Amen. See, now you can add that to my total. 1, 2, 3, 4. Amen. We're also planning to go on a trip. Well, first of all, we have PSJ coming up, spring break. We're excited about that, and that's going to be a lot of fun. We had a great time last year, and you'll get to see how we did and come back, share with you after the trip. And also, we're going to we're planning a trip to the Dominican, so you'll be hearing about that. We have a huge list, almost 10 youth are wanting to go. And, of course, some of us older folks too. Right, Hetty? She's not sure. She's not sure. Well, praise the Lord. Yeah, we're going to be letting you know about that. And we're really excited about just going out and serving the Lord. And, you know, one last thing on the Holy Spirit. When we leave something out in our lives, it's like when we, if we read the Bible through, God talks about a secret sin or a place in our life that we don't give to God. And if we leave that part out, we leave a place for the devil. We leave a place for the devil in our lives. And that comes in and hurts us spiritually. It's a place that the devil can have leverage in our life and hurt us spiritually. And we need to focus on getting everything out of our lives and getting into what God has. And just focus on being determined. Another thing was being determined to press forward in what God has. And be determined to have household that is centered in God, that have a life that's centered in God, and have a relationship with God that's going to be able to weather anything. Because when people see, the worst thing I've ever heard is, you know, your parent a Christian, this or that, and they go, yeah, he's a Christian or she's a Christian, but I don't like, if that's what Christianity is, I don't want any part of it. We don't ever want our youth to say that. We don't ever want that to be what people look at. And if God's love is flowing out of us and his peace and joy and the fruits of the Spirit are coming out of our lives, then that they'll never say that. They'll be attracted to what God has and will want to join in with us. I'd like to pray right now. If everybody would stand up, I'd like the youth to come forward. First, the graduating teens, and just come on forward. And I'd like just to have a time of prayer where we just ask the Lord to bless them. And if everybody can just come on forward and lay hands on them. And after that, I'd like to pray for the teens as well and continue to lift them up with the Holy Spirit. While we're getting ready, Vicky had one more thing to say. Come on up, Vicky. Jake has to sneeze. Should be on.
Hello. Okay. So this one I didn't really write down. It's just something that God put on my heart yesterday. At Supernatural Saturday, we were worshiping. We came from the lovely one day experience, and that was all about, yeah, it was really awesome. It was all about like who you are in God and just facing your fear and being confident in God and who he made you to be. But I just felt like I want more Jesus in it, you know? But yeah, I was worshiping God and that was awesome. And I just felt like God speaking to me. And I was sitting down. I'm going to demonstrate. Okay. It's weird. There's water on the ground. Okay. So I'm sitting down like this and I just get this picture from God that he's kneeling in front of me. And I'm like, okay, that's just crazy. God doesn't kneel. Okay. I should be kneeling to God. And then, I was thinking about something that Amber said in the car, about Disney. That the guards go up to the little girls and they ask for their autograph because they're dressed like a princess. And I thought about how God always knew that he loves us since we were little kids. And we didn't even know how much he loves us, but he's always known how much he loves us. And the last thing I thought about was a man proposing to his future wife, like a man getting down on his knees and asking us, you know, asking the woman for her hand in marriage. And well, it really just, I'm like, when would God do that to me? God is a king and I am nothing. And I looked over at the cross and that was Jesus getting on his knees saying, "Will you marry me?"
Amen. Amen.
And the only way to respond to that is, yes, I want that commitment with you. I want that relationship with you my whole life. I want to lay down my life for you and be your bride. So if you want to make that commitment, I want you to come forward, and I want to pray with you. And Amen. That's all I want to say.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Just everyone start praying, and we'll keep going from there. Dear God, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for our youth. Lord, we pray that your hand will lead us and guide us to the things that you want us to do, and that we'll be focused on who you are, and that our path will be cleared by the Holy Spirit, and that we'll be led in the good way that you have for us, God. I pray that all the tricks of the devils and snares would be exposed and removed, that we'd be able to see and turn far from them. God, we praise you and thank you that your Spirit guides us and leads us through this path, and that there's no wavering when we know the Spirit is guiding us on his way. Lord, bless us to be who you want us to be. Bless us to do the good work you've called us to do. Bless our households to be what you want them to be. Help us to raise our children in the way you want us to, Lord. And I pray that they would see your good love and mercy, and that would in turn do that for their families. God, we praise you and thank you for the opportunity to look to you in prayer and give you this time and give you the glory and give you our lives. Take our lives now. In Jesus' name, fill us with your Spirit. Amen. 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 I'd also like if the band will come up and play. And I'd like parents, all the parents of the youth, we want to pray with you. Teens, stay on up here, guys. Let's look to God. Let's start family relationships. Youth, if you want to get with your parents and just give them a hug and tell them you love them and that you're going to help them build a house, a home that's centered on God, and a house that God is leading, that people will know that God is the head of those houses. Dear Lord, I pray for the families, Lord Jesus, that you would touch us right now, that you touch our families, and that we would be a family centered on you, that not centered on the entertainment center, not centered on the sports or the home, but it would be something where we'd be centered on the Bible, the word of truth, the word of truth that flows from the throne of God. Lord, I pray that our homes would be filled with who you are, Lord Jesus, and that when we mess up, fall down, and we be able to start again and get pressed into who you are and what you have for us, God. We thank you that you're a God that forgives and gives us a chance to reset and start again. Lord, we pray that our families would do that, that the Spirit would be flowing out of our families, out of our homes, into the streets, and to our neighbors, and from the neighbors to the church, from the church to your throne, God. I praise you and thank you that you're God and King of this universe, that you created us for your glory, and that you created us to be a family with you, and that we can have this relationship as family members with the King of Kings. In Jesus' name, praise you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. The guys are going to close in